Welcome to
So This Is Love.
My name's Leslie.
And I'm Aaron.
You are Aaron.
Yay!
And this is episode 120.
119.
Oh. I can't count. The last episode, I thought it was 113, so there you go.
Yeah, you were getting closer.
Yes.
We're getting closer. We hope y'all's week has been really good. our time away has been long, but we're happy to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To be recording again, to be sending out this podcast and, you know, sharing with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So something that we talked about late last year and early this year was my being diagnosed with depression. And we talked about in our last episode how that kind of got in the way of us recording. And then it was kind of a reason for me to not feel like wanting to record.
Because I would always ask, are we going to record today?
And I was like, no. Or I'd say yes early in the day. And then when I got home, I'd be like, no, can we just lay down and watch TV or
whatever. We never watch TV. Like, I feel like...
No, we went out.
Yeah.
And we went to bed.
Yeah.
And that was about it. But so I started taking medication late December into the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little rough, right? Mentally at first. There were some weird days.
Yes. Very strange days.
But then, you know, I started feeling a little bit better, and over the few months.
Not right away.
No, not right away. Mm-hmm. But over a period of time, I started feeling better, and then it was like, well, let's talk to the doctor about upping the medication, and ended up getting, doing that twice, right? Mm-hmm. Taking more and more. And in that time period, well, one of the side effects from before, like one of the reasons like we decided to go see a doctor about how it was feeling was just like the way I felt about, you know, not our marriage, but our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And not that I wanted to divorce or anything. I felt disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Disconnected.
Right.
And so then once I started taking the medication, that got a little bit better. It improved. But it still wasn't at a place.
Let's just talk about it.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's just talk about it. Because anybody who struggles with depression knows that there are side effects when you take medication.
Okay. So
No, just let me say it. Because
you go ahead.
Because I know that you don't know the words for it.
I don't have the words. I'll use yours.
So, part of the issue that we were having before Aaron started taking medication was that he just was never feeling like his libido was very low.
Yeah.
He didn't really want to have sex. And that's just...
You said sex.
I did. I did. But he didn't want to have sex. And that was kind of our indication that something's wrong.
Yeah.
And so you went to the doctor,
mm-hmm.
and you let him know that these things were happening. You took the mm-hmm. little depression test. He said, yeah, I think you're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So they started you on Zoloft or yes. Sertraline.
Mm-hmm.
There are side effects that come with that too.
Yes.
And,
decreased libido being one of them.
Even more decreased. Yeah. Yes. And you also had your testosterone levels tested,
mm-hmm.
Which were, they weren't low, but they were in the... Time. Right. They were in the low the low part of the normal range.
Mm-hmm.
And so the doctor tried to give you something else. I don't remember what it was, but
it was the thing that you were on, actually.
They try to put men on, I think it was like Clomid, like that's a version of Clomid,
mm-hmm.
which is usually used for infertility in women.
Yeah.
But
it deals with testosterone.
Right.
So they try to kind of like start there, especially because it's less expensive
right.
and less invasive.
Right.
And, so I did that, but I didn't feel any different.
Right. So, and it was expensive. And so you did it for the times that he had you do it. And then he said, well, okay, well, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
After taking that, they did another testosterone test and they realized that your testosterone had gotten lower.
A lot.
So they still kept you on sertraline. And we were still having the same issues with the low sex drive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another way to say it. Yeah. And it just wasn't getting any better. And of course, you had other people tell you, like, that's normal.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't want this to be normal.
I don't know. And so being the stubborn man that I am, I talked to my friends, mm-hmm. right? Friends who, and people around us who are dealing with the same issues.
Right.
And talked to the doctor, and I talked to you, mm-hmm. and I just, I was done with, you know, not being able to, you know, have that in my life.
Right.
With my wife.
Right.
So I went online, which is the best place to go for anything.
Not.
I said in the most sarcastic voice I could
make. It wasn't very sarcastic. All the things Aaron's about to say, don't do
don't
them.
Don't do them. Don't. And I asked other people who deal with depression. I was like, is this a thing? Like, how does it affect you? And the guys that I talked to were like, or the guys who responded were like, yeah, I just deal with it. I realize I'm never just going to want to have sex all the time or, you know, at all ever. And I was like, okay, that's sad. And some other people were saying, well, you know, talk to your doctor.
Because there are pills for the side effects yes. for the pill that you're taking. And yeah. I was like,
and,
no.
And, you know, we're just not fans of adding medication.
Right.
Like, we want to take what we need, but we don't want to take what's unnecessary.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, sure. A lot of the really good advice that I got was to find a psychologist or a therapist who is able to, who specializes in mental health and who are able to dispense medication.
Right.
And I'm like, that sounds awesome. I want that, need that in my life. I can't afford it. You know, right. And there's nobody really in the area that we know of yet or that we've been able to get in touch with. So I was like, that is the long-term solution.
Right.
Like, I will do that when I can.
Right.
But in the meantime, there were other people, guys who were like, you know what? I just stopped taking it. I just stopped taking my medication and I supplemented with like working out or getting in a better mind space, like doing all these other things that, you know, the pills help with. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that.
Without talking to your wife.
Or a doctor or anybody.
Mm-hmm. That's the bad part.
Yeah. And so I was like, no, I don't, like, this is not going to be my life. And I don't have money to go see the doctor. For one thing, and being a general practitioner, like, that's not really the person I want to talk to about this.
Right. Because they'll they'll send you to someone, but who knows who they'll send you yeah. to. Plus, your insurance didn't cover, like, anybody.
No.
Everybody was far away.
And then the second thing was, well, I do want a psychologist or a therapist or whatever,
mm-hmm.
But that isn't happening anytime soon. Like, that's not happening tomorrow.
Right.
So, I decided to stop taking the medication and I wanted to do it more as an experiment than as something that I was going to do forever. Because I wanted to see if I told other people when I talked about it with them, like, yeah, I felt better taking the medication, but it wasn't like I felt I was cured.
Right.
You know, I didn't feel, oh, I'm good now, I can stop taking this. No, I chose to stop taking it because I knew I didn't feel better all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, no, I'm going to try this. And so I started walking. I started opening the blinds in our house and letting the sunlight in. And 3 weeks later, my libido came back. And Leslie and I were able to be together again, sexually, which is great. And that's kind of been what the last 2 months?
Almost 3 months.
And I'm not going to like recommend that you do what I did.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's not something never that we do stop, on our podcast.
First of all, never stop taking your medication regarding your mental health without talking to your doctor. Because the correct way to do it would be to be weaned off if you decided you wanted to be taken off of your medication.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people take some heavy medicine that isn't heavy to them. Like, it, you know, it helps balance them. Please, please don't stop taking your medication without talking to your doctor. I was not happy
when Erin told her 3 weeks later.
Mm-hmm. And that's because I had seen my husband getting better
in the last three weeks.
In the past 3 weeks. And I thought, oh, his medicine's finally working.
Finally working.
Yes. Well, because I had seen like a change in your attitude and just the way you were doing things. And I was like, oh, I guess maybe his medicine is like finally like settling in.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking that like 2 days before you told me like you just stopped taking your medicine. And I was like, what?
I think part of it for me was being more purposeful in taking care of myself and doing the things that I needed to do, because plenty of people told me great things to do. And I was, every time they said it, I was like, I hate you. Stop talking. And not in a bad way, just like that's the natural response for me. But finally starting to implement those things. And, you know, like I said, I opened the blinds. Guys,
in the 12 years that we've been married, it's always been dark.
I don't know how to explain to
when
you.
When Erin, when we had our house built, he made sure there was as little windows as possible. Only the ones that were necessary to build our house and for it to pass inspection.
And every single one of those windows is covered with
a blackout curtain.
A blackout curtain and like courtesy blackout blind things. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it dark.
Yeah.
So when Leslie came home one day and saw the back door,
the French blinds
were like kind of tied off so that the light could come through, she's like, okay.
I was like, it's so bright in here.
And I was like, oh, I opened the things. And she's like, uh-huh. Cool.
Going to the bathroom now. I don't know what's happening.
But in the, what, in the, it's been about 2 months or a month and a half since then. It was really weird for me because, and I told Leslie in the best way that I could tell her, because like I don't know how to explain like all of what I feel, but I feel like I told her I felt like I was waking up. Like things felt different. Like food tasted different.
Mm-hmm.
Just life was like changing for me. And the closest thing that I could relate it to was being asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing when I went to sleep, because you can, like, people do it all the time. You have a long day at work, hard day. You drive home, you get home, you're like making dinner, and you look up and you're like, how did I get home?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just at work. How did I get here?
Yeah.
And you were, you know, you were awake for that time because obviously you made it home in one piece. Mm-hmm. You were able to drive, but you kind of coasted through that experience. You kind of like put your brain on hold and you're like, okay, like this, let the muscle memory take over. And so for me, just thinking about my life, thinking like, well, I've been here because I've obviously been having a life and having moments of enjoying my life and moments of pain and different things like that. But I don't remember when I last felt like this, mm-hmm. where like it feels like I'm alive.
Yeah.
Basically. It's, you know, isn't like the greatest feeling in the world when you think about that. Mm-hmm. But I feel good knowing that I have that now.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. Like, it's just, it's different. I've been different. And I've been, like, I told you a while back, like, I wanted to kind of give out a PSA, like a, what is it called? The
public service announcement. A PSA.
Like, I'm still me, but I'm not me anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I've changed, but I'm still the same person. And it's been really crazy because, like, Leslie and I sing. Mm-hmm. I play guitar. And after we got married, we wrote a song together. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. And we've tried, you know, over the years to do that, to work on that. There have been a couple of songs that we've written with friends. But it's always kind of been like hit or miss, touch or go. Like, we don't always end up in the same frame of mind.
Right.
Or the same frame of heart, you know, to sit down and do that. So it's been a while. And in the last, just what, 2 weeks? Week and a half?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
About two weeks. Yeah. I sat down and I wrote like 3 songs. Mm-hmm. And I like them, mm-hmm. you know? I think they're pretty. I think they're fun. But like, I've never done that ever in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's been really crazy to like experience life now, mm-hmm. and see the differences, feel the differences, but try not to like let myself get carried away and freaked out by it. Because I feel like one of the things that the medication did for me was regulate my emotions. Mm-hmm. I feel like now everything's really raw.
Right.
And strong. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. because for most of my life, I didn't want to feel things. Or I didn't want to feel certain things.
Right.
Right. And I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, where if you try to push down one emotion, you can't single it out from the other feelings and emotions that you're going to experience. Like, it's all of them or it's none of them.
Right.
And just so for a long time, emotions and feelings and stuff, like, just haven't, like, they've been really small. They've been really, like, small impacts in my life. Mm-hmm. And so now they feel, like, raw and strong. But I feel also, like, in the time that I started dealing with it and taking the medication, like, I learned how to deal with things. I learned how to process.
Right.
And not to stamp down. You know, not to push down, not to, like, bottle things up. I learned, like, okay, I need to be able to, like, allow this feeling and to follow it to where it came from and what I need to do with it. Mm-hmm. And not just act out or bottle it up.
Right.
Because that's not fun. and so it's been a real process or a real, like, experience for me now to just, like, okay. Like, I don't know what. Cry. I cry all the time. And not all the time, but
I think you cry when it's necessary.
Yeah.
I've seen you cry more when it's necessary.
Yeah. Or, like, even in our marriage, something that's, for me, been a lot more, like, freeing, I guess, or feeling more validated in, is, like, actually telling you how I feel. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's been a little hard for the both of us because now I'm just telling you things. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I would keep them to myself. And you didn't know that for the last 11 years of our marriage. I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. Or I wasn't happy with a certain aspect of, you know, how we communicated or anything like that. And so I'm trying to just like, okay, like maybe not just everything that comes to my mind do I talk about or do I speak on, you know, with you or with anybody. But the like important things, the things that, you know, mean something to me. And so we've had a lot of conversations where I'm like, I don't like that. I've kind of never liked that. I'm really sorry that I'm only telling you now.
And my response is, too bad. You put a ring on it.
And no, not that like I don't want to be married to you.
I know.
And not that you just want to like push off
right.
what I'm saying. It's just, it's an adjustment.
Yes. I've been talking about this with my accountability partners. Please pray for me because this is an adjustment. Because it's not like I don't want to be who you believe I should be. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that I've gotten away with, mm-hmm. you know, in our entire 11 years of marriage.
I love that. Entire 11 years of marriage.
Well, because I feel like, you know, like there was a couple of days where it was like correction after correction after correction after correction. And I was like, what? You've been married to this for 11 years. Like, now you change your mind about me saying this or me joking with you this way or,
yeah.
you know. So it has been an adjustment. And it's been hard on my heart, too, you mm-hmm. know. But I also know, like, I mean, you're not out to get me or anything, no. you know. So I'm just like, okay, Lord, if you're trying to make me better, I know you're trying to do it through Aaron, so I'm just going to accept. And there are things that we have talked about where it's been like, no, like, this is mm-hmm. normal or this, you know, and yeah. we've found a balance in those things. Mm-hmm. So, and you said to me about my list. You said to me, do you remember that list you wrote?
Okay.
And I said, yes. And it was the husband list. And oh, you yeah. said, you asked for these things. And I was like, yeah, but it only happened for a little bit. And then, like, then I didn't have to worry about it. Because I've always said I need somebody who's going to put me in my place.
Yeah.
Always said that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember that conversation. I was like, what are you talking about? So when this really came to a head, like this type of interaction of me actually saying things, and not just stuffing it down. Obviously, Leslie was really hurt by what she was hearing. Because you spend a decade of your life thinking one thing and being led to believe one thing. And then from one day to the next, oh no, I never liked that. Mm-hmm. This has never been cool. I've just never said anything about it mm-hmm. or wanted to say anything about it or thought that I could or, you know, whatever the excuse was, because something that we've talked about for a while now is that I've probably been depressed for a long time, like most of my life.
And I've said that I think there was a possibility of you having many mental breaks.
Yeah.
Because of the things that have happened in your life mm-hmm. or the changes that have been made, you know, like or all the things that happened to you from being little.
Yeah.
To even to the age of 20.
Yeah.
21, 22, you know.
And but my personality, the way I am, the person that I am, has just been able to get past it. And for whatever reason, last year, that stopped being able to happen. I stopped being able to do that. And now I feel like I can again.
That or just because you're 35 and you've matured some.
Well, just and just this year is a phrase that I've used a lot this mm-hmm. year is like, I'm done with certain things. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to put up with like people disrespecting me behind my back. Like, okay, cool. You go on and do that. That's not how it's going to work for me.
Right.
So we're going to continue to have a relationship then we're going to need to figure it out where it's mutually, you know, beneficial for the both of us, or you need to go.
Yeah.
Because I'm done playing games with people. Like, I'm not here to play power games. Right. I'm just here to do what God wants me to do.
Right.
And that's this, until I'm told differently. Or, you know, like, I got another job. You know, I found a job at Office Depot, and I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just, this is what I need to do to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I realized nobody else is going to take care of me.
Right.
And not that you're not here to love and support me. But there's
some areas I can't take
care of. Yeah, like, you don't know how I think or how I feel unless I say that.
Right.
And unfortunately, I've not really been saying any of that the past, you know, entirety of our marriage. Hit me.
What?
Put away. I don't care who it is. Okay. I really don't.
All right. It's all my fault. My wrist keeps vibrating.
Uh-huh. Am I wearing mine? Mm-mm. No, that's right.
So take it off whenever we podcast.
You really should.
Yeah.
Like now.
Keep talking.
Because we're podcasting.
Keep talking.
Anyway. And so it came to a head one night where we went out to our favorite place to argue.
Our favorite place to argue. You're funny.
The pizzeria.
Which is also our favorite place to eat.
Yeah. The two are not mutually exclusive. Like, sometimes it happens together. Right. Sometimes it doesn't. And then we came back to our second most favorite place to argue, which is
the driveway.
The driveway, yeah. And, you know, just a continuation of the conversation of, like, I really appreciated being able to have that conversation with you because, and I told you, like, it was one of the times where I felt like I didn't have to reassure you that you're not a bad wife.
No. Uh-huh.
Like, it was just one of those times where we could just talk.
Even though all the things you were saying painted me out to be a bad wife.
And that's not true. And you know that. It isn't that you were a bad wife. It's just like we talked about on the last episode, like, consistency. This has not been consistent. What was consistent in the past is no longer, and really shouldn't have been, what was happening. But that's just what I did. Not your fault, right? and so finally it came down to what you were saying, like, the list. Like, this is what you prayed for. You've always talked about a husband who is going to lead the family and who is going to put you in your place. And not in, like, a woman being under my thumb way. But, you know, a husband who takes the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so I'm doing that now. That's what's
today
happening.
Today I'm just decided this is what I'm going to do.
And not
that you haven't been.
No. But also not, like, I just decided. It's like something clicked in me finally after going through all of this stuff. With taking the medication, with stopping the medication, with, like, trying to be open to myself and accepting that. And now, like, well, this person that I am is not the person that I was. And that's okay. But this person that I am now, like, this is how he's going to interact with the world. And I'm trying to not be harsh about it. I'm trying to make the transition a good one. I don't succeed all the time because I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is what we've wanted from the very beginning of our marriage. And yeah, it's happening now. And I'm really sorry that it didn't happen before, right? But these changes are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? They're good. I've been in a place in my life too where God's kind of had me step back from some things and just kind of trying to figure out, like, am I still doing the things He wants me to do? Am I still where I'm supposed to be? I think it's important to do that here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've taken a step back from some things, and in that, like, it's given me more space.
Yeah.
to look at the things going on around me and pay attention to the things around me. Because here's the thing, when you're busy, and that's my life, busy.
Yeah.
If you ask me to do something, I can't because I'm busy.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, putting some stuff aside and, you know, we both, like, we no longer do the college ministry because we just couldn't.
No.
You know?
With Haley in our lives, right. With everything that was going on, like, it just...
We couldn't.
We had to scale back.
And, you know, recently I took a break from singing on the worship team just because it was a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I was like, okay, Lord, like, I need you to show me, like, what is it that you want me to do?
Yeah.
And during this time, like, we just so happened to the next week, we're starting a fasting and praying time in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really neat too. And, our theme verse is like Isaiah 43:18-19, which talks about is where God says, like, I'm doing something new.
Yeah.
Do you not see it? And that's been my verse that I've clung to for the past, like, almost a month now. Because God is doing a lot of new things, not just mm-hmm. at church, but in our lives.
Yeah.
And the other day I got home from work and you were sitting in your chair and you had your guitar and you were writing mm-hmm. music. And I was just sitting on the couch with my phone and picked my phone and I took a little short video of you and I sent it to my best friend. And I said, he's writing music again. I was like, he hasn't done this in a really long time.
Yeah.
And her response to me, I had to get up and leave the room. But her response to me was, don't you see? I'm doing something new. Do you not see it? And I was like, I told her, I was like, why'd you say that? I'm crying all over the place. And I had to get up and leave the room. You know, like, I'm getting to see the new things that God's doing in your life. I'm experiencing new things that God's doing in my life. And so it's just been, like, as much as it's been a time for you where you've seen things going on in your life, like, it's been a time for me too, just in different areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, in March last year, we did a praying and fasting time in our church, and you weren't able to come to any of that.
No.
Because you were working.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we started one in September. We're fasting and praying as a church. Because God is doing something new.
Yeah.
We have a contract on our current church building and we're trying to sell it. And our office has been moved to our new piece of land, which is 20 acres of beautiful land.
Oh, yeah.
That is paid for. We are debt free from that. Like, we have paid it all in cash. Our pastor is very passionate about us not going into debt for these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in March, God provided, in a span of 12 weeks, $200,000 to build our offices on our new land.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we had been, our offices were in the church building and there, no one really super had cramped. An office.
Yeah.
Like the pastors were working off of laptops wherever they could find a spot, you know? And if you... For most people think that churches, everything happens on Sunday.
No.
No, we work all week.
Oh my gosh.
We work all week preparing for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Preparing for your kids, preparing for the music, preparing, you know.
The coffee and the desserts everything. And, you know,
the pastors happens. Having, you know, we also take care of people. Like, it's not just Sunday. Like, we take care of people during the week and, you know, and then we're figuring out, like, we have teams of people who help figure out the programming for the weekend and what are we going to talk about and all those things. So it's a lot of work to be done in very limited space. But God saw fit to give us our offices, you know? Yeah. And so now we're praying and fasting and, you know, we're trusting the Lord that he's going to give us double that because it's what we need after we sell our building. So we're in this time of prayer and fasting with our church family and in our homes.
Yes.
And Aaron was actually able to go with me to one of these nights of prayer. And, you know, it's really like laid back and low key. We have music mm-hmm. and then Pastor Kenny talks and then we pray. On Sundays, our church family we normally do comment cards that have prayer requests.
Mm-hmm.
So people write down their prayers and then we pray for those prayers. And I mean, we get like two, 200 to 250 prayer requests.
Yeah.
Whoever can come comes out, and we take cards and we pray, and then we come back together and we pray as a church family.
Yeah.
For a lot of things, not mm-hmm. just for our land no. and for the money that comes with our land. Pray for our nation, and we pray for the things that are going on in it.
Our leaders.
You know, but in that, God has been just, I see him moving and I see him doing things, and it's really neat to see, you know, and I see it happening in our friends' lives and the things mm-hmm. happening in our lives and the things in the people around these lives. And I'm just like, wow, you know, so, you know, after 3 weeks and you telling me you stopped taking your medication, I was like, what? You know, and then the first thing I did was I spoke with someone who is on medication mm-hmm. and I said, did you ever have the desire to do this? I'm like, yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I told him, I was like, you know, confidentially, like, Aaron stopped taking his medicine. And he's like, well, that's not good. And I was like, well, yeah. And I was like, but this, and, you know, I told him, I was like, you know, he told me now he's been off of it for 3 weeks, but I was honestly fixing to tell him, like, man, I feel like your medicine's working. Like, for the past 3 weeks, like, things have, like, I've watched you doing things for yourself, you mm-hmm. know, getting up in the morning, not sleeping all day long on your days off, yeah. you know, just really doing stuff again. And he's like, oh, well, that's good. He's like, but it does take time for, you know, medication to get out of your system. And I was like, yeah. I was like, well, at this point, it had been about 4 weeks. And he's like, mm-hmm. well, he's like, you know, you'll know. If you see weird patterns, don't be afraid to tell him.
Yeah.
You know, and we had already talked about that between mm-hmm. us. And so I was like, okay. So the farther along that we've gotten, I'm like, okay, Lord, like, I don't know what God's done or what he's doing or, yeah. you know, like, I still want you to see a therapist or a psychologist mm-hmm. of some sort, and at least to be able to kind of work through some of the stuff that yeah. has happened in your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's the stuff that stays there.
Yeah.
And it's easily triggered. And mm-hmm. so, I don't know. Like, I'm really proud of you. I know that you've had to, there have been days, even in the past week, where you've had to make yourself. And yeah. I do worry that there'll be a day where you're like, I'm not going to make myself. And yeah. those are the days that scare me,
mm-hmm.
you know? But you know, you're doing what you need to do for yourself right now. And I think it's great. Yeah.
The biggest thing coming into all of that and working through it is the fact that it's change, right? More change.
Yes, I was already going through change.
Different change. Because we were already doing change.
Yeah.
And then Haley coming into our lives was change.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then this whole, like, where were we? We went to the beach. Just like mm-hmm. on a whim one day. Yeah. And that's really when I told you for the first time, like, it feels like I'm waking up. Like, it feels like I've been asleep mm-hmm. and now I'm awake and I'm like, what's going on? and I, change is never like the most welcome thing in anybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change can be difficult. Change can be hard. Change can be scary. And I know specifically for you, change is often scary
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, fear is a thing that isn't just part of our lives. But, you know, we talked about Haley in the last episode and just the level of fear that she has, you know, that comes from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think that's a big part of y'all's family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people I've interacted mm-hmm. with in your family, like you, your sister, your mom, Haley,
mm-hmm.
fear is
rampant.
Yeah. And not that it's hereditary. It's
no,
just.
No, it's like cyclic. Like,
cyclic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cyclical.
Yeah.
And so for me, from like a husband's standpoint, it's been like, and that's what got me thinking of the whole public service announcement. Mm. I was like, guys, you know, not just you, but like, I thought about talking to my brothers or, you know, my family and being like, look, this son, this brother, this husband that you've known for the past, like, most of my life, That's not me anymore. But parts of me are.
Right.
And like I wrote, you know, parts of me will always be the same. And my heart is never going to change. But I'm not that person anymore. Mm. And I really need you to know that, because when we interact and I'm different, you're going to look at me like I'm like, why? And I'm like, well, it's because of this. Mm. Right. But still knowing, like, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to wake up one day and be like, I'm done. I don't want to be married anymore. Like, I still had a life,
mm-hmm.
you know, I still fell in love, and I'm still in love.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, like, talking about waking up, it doesn't mean that our marriage was a dream mm-hmm. and it's over. It just means that I'm able to appreciate it better now.
Yeah.
And does that mean that we're going to be different? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And are some of those differences going to be not great for a bit? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's going to happen, right? But that happens with everybody. But for the most part, it's going to mean, like, better. It's going to mean good. Good change. And so for me, a big part of it is just, like, reassurance of, like, hey, you know, I know I'm changing. I know I've changed. But I still love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still want to be married to you. And I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And no part of change in my life is going to alter that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's just been...
Just remember, you said it on the podcast.
I sure did.
I will use it against you in the court of law.
I love you.
And just so you know, the reason he's saying all that is because those are some of my biggest fears. Like, that he'll leave, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, he's never left.
No.
Even in my crazy.
No.
Because I'm pretty crazy.
I did tell you, though, we were laying in bed one night. And Leslie says this she has this phrase that she uses wrongly. And no matter how many times I tell her, or have told her in the past, like, that's a lie. You know, that's not true. That's not real. It's not a thing. You know, countless ways of being able to say this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, she's so continued to use it. And so the phrase is that I do not care. And I'm like,
I could be dying and you don't care.
That's not true.
I'm coughing in my lungs and you don't care.
And for me, I'm like, that's false. That's wrong. That's a lie. That's never true. Like, I never don't care.
Just pretend it's not true.
No. I may not feel as strongly or feel in the same way, but it doesn't mean that I don't care. It just means that it's different.
Mm.
And so we were laying in bed, and she said that to me. And the lights were off, and so I had to turn the light on. So she could see my face, see how serious I was. And I was like, the next time you tell me that I don't care, I'm going to sleep in another room. And she chuckled.
Just like that.
Just the way she did right now. And she's like, are you threatening me? I'm like, no, this is not a threat, but this is how serious I feel about this. Like, that's not, I mean, okay, you can't read my mind. You don't know what I'm feeling. I'm letting you know now. I'm never feeling that. I'm never thinking that. You can rely on the fact that I never don't care. Like, that's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be 100% across the board. Not true.
Okay. Again, once again, you said it on the podcast.
I did. And you agreed, so we're good. But
so I started saying nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And I was like, what? And she's like, you're not nobody. your name isn't nobody. And I was like, oh my gosh. But yeah, like, I want to say these are the little things, but like, these are really big things that have happened in the 9 months that we haven't been podcasting. And there's a lot more,
yeah,
honestly. So we'll have stuff.
Need to like make a chart of things or something.
Like what happened here and what's the timeline. But yeah, we have a lot of different things to talk about still. We're happy to be back. I'm happy to be back. I know Leslie is.
Yeah.
But the whole, like, it sounds funny to me, but like the whole being awake thing is nice. And being able to enjoy like the podcast again and doing the editing stuff. And, you know, we're getting ready to go to Utah, like you mentioned.
Yay!
Go visit our friends, Winter specifically, who got us into podcasting.
Yeah.
And not that she got us into it, but she really did help us, like, get started.
Yes.
You know, because once we decided we're going to do a podcast, it was like, how does this work?
Yep.
Because there's a way that needs to be done. There are specific steps that need to happen.
Yes.
In order for you to have a podcast and it be on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or whatever, like you have to have these things. And we didn't know what these things were.
Yeah.
We just had a computer. We bought a microphone at Best Buy. And we're like, okay, we're ready. And we started, like, finding music. We started recording podcasts. Yeah. But then it was like, oh, we need a website. Oh, we need a domain. Oh, we need, you know, all of these different things. And you need to submit this to iTunes and have the RSS feed. And then you need to edit. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for us, Winter was this amazing person to just be like, hey, how did you do this? Tell me.
I remember doing, like, a couple of like Skype things and like, what happened, how did you do this?
And
we're having this problem. Yeah. Are you having this problem? Because we don't know how to fix this.
And then, I mean, Carrie's doing like our web hosting stuff. Yeah. And we got to a point where, you know, our list of episodes stopped showing at a specific point, or we couldn't load an episode because the size wasn't allowing for the size of the audio file that it was. And so we've had a lot of people like behind us, and specifically, like I said, Winter, she's been a part of different conferences where she's been on a panel to talk about blogging.
Yeah.
I think it's super cool.
Yeah. And her husband,
Lee,
they recently started a podcast together, and it's called, Still a Part of Us.
Oh.
And I think it's necessary. It's a necessary podcast. Mm-hmm. It's about infant loss.
Yeah.
And, so if you know, like, I've listened to a few episodes and it's really, really good. They do a lot of interviews. I think they have like 8 or 9 episodes or maybe 10 episodes now. But I love their honesty.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a child to stillbirth. I think it's been a year now.
Yeah.
And, so I think it's a necessary thing because it's not something people necessarily want to talk about.
No.
But it's a podcast about stillbirth and infant loss. And, so still a part of us is what it's called. And we'll put the link in the show notes so you can check it out. I've listened to a few episodes, like I said, and I was like, wow. Okay. You know, like, my mom's first child was stillborn. My sister's first child was stillborn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's necessary. So I just wanted to give her a little plug on that because it's really good if you have a chance to listen to it.
I think one of the, like, the nicest kind of like Easter egg in life to find, because there's this whole thing called Easter eggs in movies and video games where you come across something and you weren't expecting it, but it's like the developers did it on purpose. You know, movie makers did it on purpose to see if you would catch it, to see if you could find it.
So they're like our Easter egg.
Yeah.
And then like God like purposely put them there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think also like one of the coolest Easter eggs in life to find are people who will speak honestly. Oh, yeah. You know, people who will be vulnerable and tell you exactly what's going on.
Yeah,
And not try to sugarcoat it and not try to like make it wrong or bad or evil, but to just be honest.
Well, like today I was just like, let's just say it. I mean, anybody who's taking depression medication, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and if you don't, well, now you do,
and,
you know,
and like, you know, that's what I mean. Like you don't get that a lot in life with politics. Forget about it. In business, in, you know, in life, sometimes even in church, you don't get people who are going to be real. And so when you find people who are going to do that, like, I think that's amazing. Like, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
So for them to have a podcast like that where they discuss it, you know, early on in our podcast, I mentioned Matt and Dory.
Yes.
Right. And they were talking about a science baby and now they have a beautiful boy.
Yeah.
You know? But they were having these conversations and they were being real about what was going on through the whole process. And it's killer.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, for us, the same thing where it's like, okay, you know, this is our lives. This is our podcast. And we're going to be as real as we can.
Right.
You know?
I think real is important. And here's the thing, like, for so many years in my life, I didn't live real.
Yeah.
When I had my wake up moment after I gave my life to the Lord and after I started Celebrate Recovery, where I was like, why am I keeping this a secret? It can help somebody.
Yeah.
My life can help somebody.
Mm-hmm. Your experiences.
My life, the things I've experienced in my life can help somebody make a good decision or not make a bad decision because I made a lot of bad choices.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, so we stepped out of college ministry, but I just started leading an open share group for college age girls
on Friday night.
So that, you know, I've told you guys on the podcast before, like my heart is that college age girl because those were the worst times of my life. That's when I was making all my mistakes, when I was doing all the stupid things. Mm-hmm. Now I get to speak into these girls' lives.
Yeah.
And I don't have to sugarcoat anything.
Yeah.
Because they're there because they know they need to be there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, girls, let's talk about this, you know? So I'm excited about what God's doing and those new things that God is doing for us. And so. Yeah. I don't know what else. Did you want to say something else?
No.
Because you smiled like you were going to say something.
No, I was just smiling.
Is that your favorite thing to do?
I like smiling.
And here we are at the end of episode 119.
Yes.
And we're so glad that you came back and listened to us.
Yay.
We're so happy to be back.
Yay.
You can find us on Facebook as So This Is Love
Podcast.
I was going to say my other podcast name. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter as at So This Is Love. Oh, no. So on Instagram, it's So This Is Love Podcast. And then on Twitter, it's So This Is Love 10.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. I don't know if I said it right last week. Whoops. But anyway, if you'd like to chime in, give us, tell us something, ask us a question, give us some feedback on some of the things we said today, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
You can email us at sothisislove@yahoo.com.
Yes. And yeah, like we said, you know, we've been off of the podcast airwaves for a couple months, almost a year. And we're super happy to be back. We have a lot to talk about. And we're really excited to be able to share it with you guys again. And hope that you guys are excited to keep hearing from us. So, okay. Y'all have a great week. We love you.
Bye. Bye.